for the day, for the Comic-Con, is the man we threw this Comic-Con for that we made super cool Maui Comic-Con t-shirts for. He is not only a Marvel and DC Comics artist, he is also the founder, I believe, of Albatross. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. He's the founder of Albatross Comics, and he is the creator of a character that has been in comics for 20 years. 60 more to go, and you'll be Batman status.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the creator of the Goon, please put your hands together for Mr. Eric Powell. All right, Mr. Powell, can you move that mic a little closer to your mouth? There we go.
All right.
All right, perfect. Now, sure. Eric, what brought you out all the way to the lovely islands of Maui?
Oh, it wasn't, didn't need my arm twisted to come out here, that's for sure. This is our second trip, actually. We came out a couple years ago and loved the place.
Right.
So when we saw there was a convention here, it just made sense. We reached out and would see if they would have us. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we're so happy to have you. Now, Eric, I met you for the first time last night. In a very casual setting. It was a lot of fun, I thought.
Yeah.
I found out that not only were you the creator of the Goon, but also the Goonies. I wasn't sure what that meant, but I think everybody was messing with me.
Yeah. Common mistake.
Is that a common mistake? Yeah. Well, listen, let's start kind of from the beginning. I always like to start with people in the business from the beginning. When did Eric Powell, the young Eric Powell, get the itch to be in comics?
When I was a kid, I was always drawing. I don't remember a time when I wasn't drawing.
Right.
And I would fill up notebooks with all of these characters and everything, and then I would write little prose stories to go with it. And with, like a lot of kids, I was into comics early, and then, you get a little older, and you're like, too cool to read comic books, and then I got a little older and rediscovered comics mostly through the work of Bernie Wrightson, who created Swamp Thing. I was a huge fan of his before I even knew his name.
Right.
I could just recognize his art, and when I reestablished a love of comics, I realized, like, well, this is everything I'm doing. I'm writing stories and drawing pictures, and mm-hmm. This just puts them together better than I was doing. And it just seemed like a perfect career path at the time when I was a kid.
Were you in the freezing tundra of Wisconsin? Is that why?
I was not, no. Oh,
okay. I assumed. I saw the Green Bay Packers cap.
Yeah,
wasn't sure.
I'm a Nashville native, lived there my whole life. Packers fan because we didn't have a team until about 10 years ago when the Oilers moved to Nashville and they renamed them the Titans. So I always liked the Packers as they're the only pro sports franchise that is owned by the town. They can never be sold. They
right.
can never leave. I love that about them.
Sweet.
So I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Now, when did you think that this was going to be something that you were going to do professionally?
I always dreamed about it and hoped that eventually I would be able to make a living off of it, but to be honest, I didn't have a whole lot of hope. I had more ambition than I had hope and stubbornness, I guess. I kept working at it and despite a lot of obstacles, kept trying. And it just kind of was a snowball effect where I would get a little job here, a little job there, would make a contact with an editor at a company, and
right.
they would start offering me work. So it wasn't like that overnight success thing where, musician or something gets signed to a big record deal overnight.
Sure.
It was like, it was just a trickulated.
It's interesting because I always ask the question, when was your big break? And no one ever tells me, like, I ran into this guy, and it was just like, it was kismet. It's
yeah.
always, they work my fingers to the bone. And
yeah. It's like one day you wake up and you're actually making a living at it.
Right.
But it's such a slow process and a slow build that it's not like you never have that big, you know, moment of, oh, I made it. You know?
Right. Where did you start? I mean, where was your small beginnings?
I met a writer named Tom Snegoski, who was working on Vampirella at the time for Harris Comics. And I met him at a convention, and he really liked my work. And we started in a company called London Knight. He got a job for me like 2 weeks later drawing a story for a comic called Razor.
Okay.
And it was kind of, I guess you would call it TNA. had nudity in it and stuff
Got
like
it.
That. I didn't care. I was happy to have work.
Right.
So that's the start. And then a lot of odd jobs here and there. I was also a fill-in artist, which is when the main guy on a book would be late or drop out, I would get a call to come in and fill in and do the issue, you know.
An understudy, almost.
Basically,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. And so that's where the majority of my early work came in.
Now, when did you move along to some of the major publishers?
Well, I was doing inking for Kyle Hoetz on The Incredible Hulk. That was kind of the first mainstream comic work I did. I did a few things here and there for Dark Horse Comics on the Buffy the Vampire Slayer series, which I wasn't well suited for because I don't draw attractive people that well. I prefer to draw monsters and ugly people.
Got it.
But yeah, that stuff, it came to a point where that work started to dry up, and I couldn't get a job. And I went to a convention in Chicago, and so the Artist Alley table there was about $100. And I sat there all weekend, never sold anything, didn't do a commission, didn't even make the $100 back for the table. And it was an 8-hour drive from Nashville to Chicago, and I drove that back alone, thinking that my, you know, career was over. And but halfway home, I realized, you know, like I haven't really been given a shot to show what I'm capable of. I've only been given this fill-in work, you know, and on books like Buffy that I didn't think I was well-suited for. So I thought, I'm going to take out a loan and self-publish something of my own, something, you know, and show off what I'm capable of. And then if that doesn't work, I'll be a janitor or something.
So you never had that moment when, you know, somebody like, you take your work up to, say, Neil Adams or something, he goes, you know what, kid, your composition is off, your panels are terrible, but you know, give it a year and I'll look at your stuff again.
Yeah.
Never got one of those?
No, but I did, when I was in high school, I did show my work to, there was a very small little swap meet convention in Nashville, and some guy who was inking for DC Comics was there, and I remember taking him my work, and obviously it wasn't very good. I was in high school.
Sure.
But I just showed it to him. I said, "What do you think I'll ever have a shot in comics?" And he was like, "No." He just, no other comment. He just said, "No." So I think back on that, that's pretty funny, you know, because I don't see that guy's name around a lot anymore.
So. And now look at you now.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I think it's safe to say I've gotten more work than him. So.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you working at the two major publishing houses in comics, when you got there, was there a different, from the way you were working independently with the TNA comics, as you called them, was it a different vibe for you? Was it a different work?
Oh, yeah, it's completely professional. I mean, for the most part, you know, the smaller publishers are not the most professionally run organizations.
Right.
Marvel and DC are big companies and run much better, you know, and so it was like, oh, they paid me when they said they were going to, or I got paid at all. So,
right.
But there is a much more hands-on approach at those companies than with, you know,
who were you working under at the time when you were at DC?
Trying to remember. Mark, the art director there, Mark Chiarello, he gave me my first work doing some Batman covers at DC. I'm trying to remember the editor's name. I'm drawing a blank. There were a couple of different editors I worked with there, but Mark Chiarello was the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, moving on to Marvel, when you decided, were you at DC first or Marvel first?
Marvel. I didn't do work for DC until after The Goon came out.
Right. So with Marvel, who are you working with there?
Tom Brevoort, I think, was the editor on the Hulk series at the time that I was inking it with Kyle. Yeah.
Was there a certain character you enjoyed actually working with?
As far as Marvel and DC go, I painted some covers of Swamp Thing at DC, and I really liked that character. Of course, like I said,
you're
a big Bernie Wrightson fan.
I got it.
Yeah. So that one was pretty fun. Yeah.
Now, when does a tenacious young lad as yourself finally go, you know what? Forget the big publishing houses. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to do this by myself. I've got ideas. Yeah. Had you taken those ideas to your higher-ups in the major publishing companies? Or were you like, nope, I'm doing this on my own?
Well, Marvel and DC don't really work in creator-owned. They're much more focused on their own properties, which makes sense. And I didn't have any real interest from them until I became established with The Goon. And at that point, it was they were offering me work because I was building up name recognition. But at that time, I realized that, okay, if I go over here and do a book for Marvel, it's taking me away from my own property, and which is going to serve me better in the long run,
right,
to continue The Goon and keep it going, or to go do a story for Marvel, and they can kick me off that book whenever they want.
Where did this incredibly amazing yet incredibly strange idea for The Goon come from?
It was pretty much just everything I wanted to draw. I didn't like drawing pretty people like the Buffy the Vampire Slayer comics. I didn't like drawing anything modern. I didn't like drawing modern cars or buildings. And I like drawing monsters. So I made a comic with a giant ugly guy as the main character, set in a Depression-era fantasy world that he fights monsters in.
Wow.
So I just kind of put all of that together, and The Goon came out.
That's amazing. Now, it's one thing to be an artist, but it's also another thing to become a writer in the process. Yeah. What was that like for you? I mean, because you were working as an artist for quite a long time. How do you become a writer and an artist?
Yeah.
How does that work?
To me, they were always kind of linked because I was always telling stories through my artwork. However, the first full-length comic that I ever wrote myself was the first issue of The Goon. So the writing has definitely been the thing that I feel has been developing more over time.
Do you script it out? I mean, for your series, or do you know how many issues you're going to run, or how does it work for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's... When I'm writing for another artist, I lay it out very meticulously. You know, panel one, this happens. Panel two, this happens. When I do it myself, it's mostly I just lay out the dialogue and the beats that I have to hit on every page. I don't, you know, because I'm drawing it myself, I kind of know what's going on, so I don't have to lay it out as meticulously as if I was writing it for somebody else. But it's the most painful process of making the book, for sure, because it's the, drawing comes naturally. The writing, not as easy.
I've always wanted to know that, because I do a lot of interviews with people like yourself that are naturally artists first. Mm. But yet the writing seems to come along, but they seem to, even though they say they have a problem with it, they seem to maintain an arc for their character. I mean, you've been doing The Goon for 20 years, and yet how do you keep that fresh as far as The Goon
goes? I think
you
have to keep yourself entertained first and foremost. I mean, I try to make the book almost completely for myself. I'm like, what would be fun? What do I want to see? And I think if you're entertaining yourself, you're going to entertain, you know, your readers too.
Right.
I think you can't focus too much on trying to make the readers happy, because I think you'll take a lot of your personal flavor out of it, by doing that.
Right. So, well, you do that with another comic. You do that with Spook House.
Yeah.
Which is another a great comic, both for adults and kids, which is a lot of fun. When did you go, hey, listen, I'm gonna do this alongside The Goon as kind of was it a side project for you, or was this a main project?
Yeah, it was the second or third book we launched at Albatross, and I just wanted a book that I would have liked as a kid, because I didn't really see, that out there, like a really fun horror anthology for kids, Tales for the Crypt for kids,
Right. That's what they feel like.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And like I said, I don't think anybody to this day still has done anything like Spook House.
I think the closest thing would be like Goosebumps or something like
Possibly.
That.
Possibly.
But it's not really, this is a comic, specific format, very much in the vein of Tales from the Crypt and creepy and eerie and things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like you said, it's something that I feel I put enough humor in there that the adults can get,
Right.
But the stories are also not too over the top that kids can enjoy them. So it's for everybody.
Right. Now, you were talking about Albatross, you started that. That's a whole other project. You're maintaining a publishing house.
Yeah.
That's gotta be tough. I know that the big inspiration for a lot of the guys I talk to, is Image Comics. That's one of their biggest things. Was that an inspiration for you, or was Albatross a totally different thing, or how'd that work?
Well, it started out of necessity, because I couldn't find anyone to publish The Goon back in the 90s. So I started self-publishing it, and then after a few issues, Dark Horse Comics offered to pick it up, and I jumped at the chance for that, because it would be bringing it to a wider audience. And then recently, I had wrapped up The Goon to a point where I was like, well, I'll either let this go and move on to other stuff, or I'll pick it up eventually later on, but I'm at a really good stopping point, and there's other projects that I want to do. So I'm going to do some other stuff right now. And then I was looking around at other publishers, and I didn't feel real comfortable with any of them. And I thought, well, I've done it before. I'll just do it myself. Let's see how this goes. And luckily for me, my readership followed over, and it did really well. And then we just started launching other books, and then when it came, the 20th anniversary of The Goons came up, and I thought this would be a great time to relaunch it. It just made sense. I've already got everything in place. Why not, keep all of my books in one spot?
Yeah, it seems as if publishing comics now independently is a lot easier than what it used to be.
Yeah. I mean, one, you have all the advantages of digital technology, the pre-press and everything, and advertising is mostly social media these days, so that's easier. But I would say even in the time that I, from when I first published a few issues of The Goon to now, it's still a lot of work, but it's way easier than it used to be.
The Goon, is he retired? There's been a lot of rumblings in the press that this guy's coming back, or he's resurrecting the... Are we retiring The Goon and moving on to other projects?
No, have a monthly series that we've launched. So we've got new Goon stories coming out.
Fantastic.
And keep it going for the foreseeable future.
Fantastic. Yeah, because there are always rumors like he's ending The Goon and blah, 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 blah. And he's getting resurrected again. So that's good to hear. So and those are available now.
Yep.
Every month. Yeah.
Yep.
That's amazing. And you have other, by the way, through Albatross, you have other comics that you help with but are also independents, like Nam Wolf and the like. So how's that going with the other people that you work alongside with and putting those books out?
It's great. It's a lot of fun. I like contributing to and helping people get their own books out there. It is a bit more stressful because if I'm doing a book myself and it does well or bad or, whatever, that's only on me. And, that's fine. the stress of wanting someone else's book to do really well, and then you have that on you, like, oh, did I not do good enough to get their book out? You
know, right.
That's a little bit. It's a little bit more stressful, but I really enjoy it.
Did you ever think you'd be writing a character that would be lasting for 20 years?
No, I didn't think that the book would, when I was launching it, I didn't think that the book would be around this long. I hoped, you know, I always hoped that I was going to, you know, make a book that I could continue doing and making a living off of. But I don't think realistically I believed I was going to be able to do that.
That's amazing. I mean, there's been a lot of talk, by the way, because I want to get into some future projects you may be working on, but there have been, speaking of rumblings, there have been rumblings that The Goon may have been optioned as a movie? Is that a thing?
Yeah, we've been, for about 10 years now, we've been trying to get the a Goon film off the ground. So it was optioned by David Fincher, who, you know, Fight Club and Seven and all these great movies. And
why does that sound so fitting for a guy like The Goon?
I don't know. and Blur. He's working with Blur, who is the company that Tim Miller, who made Deadpool.
Yeah.
And so those guys have been trying to get The Goon off the ground for about 10 years. And we just recently signed a deal with Fox. So we've got, you know, it's the first time that we had studio backing behind it. So,
Now, is this going to be a live action
film? It'll be a CGI animated movie. So this is the closest, we've got some momentum behind us right now. So,
fantastic. You know,
fingers crossed within the next couple of years, hopefully there'll be a.
Will you be working on the script?
I've written a few drafts. The way we started, I said I wanted to write the first draft, and you got just to set a tone, and then you guys can go do whatever you want. So I wrote a first draft, and they liked it, so they were just like, you just keep working on it. So I wrote four or five drafts, and then it got to a point where it's like, you know, I made the comic, and now I've written four drafts of the screenplay. I don't know what else to do with this. You guys should go get somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, so I, with my blessing, I turned it over to, you know, some other writers just to, you know, when you're that close to something, you should definitely be aware when it needs fresh eyes.
That's interesting because a lot of artists like yourself are very, clutch those personal stories and characters to themselves. Yeah.
I think I'm capable of doing that because I have so much trust in Tim Miller and David Fincher that they really get it and really we're on the same page. So I don't think they would do anything or go with a screenwriter that wasn't staying true to the characters.
Fantastic. Well, that's good to hear because it's always nice to have an opinion that's outside of the mainstream.
And that's a rare circumstance. Comics, yeah. I mean, most people who get their stuff optioned by Hollywood, you know, they turn it upside down and never get any input. So I'm in a really lucky situation.
Well, I know we don't have exact timeline. Do we think it's going to be another 10 years or maybe sooner?
I think if it's going to happen at all, it's going to happen much sooner than 10 years.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's really great. So I'm very excited that the Goon has made its 20th anniversary and it's going to be living on. But is there anything else in Eric Powell's, I guess, crazy, twisted mind? Is that okay to say?
Yeah. I don't think I can deny it.
Is there anything up there that you're going to be putting on the page that we can look forward to?
Yeah, I've got a Goon spinoff graphic novel called The Lords of Misery that I'm working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got more Hillbilly, which is a series that is out from Albatross, kind of a Conan set in Appalachia.
I wanted to bring up Hillbilly. I mean, I know this is a Goon kind of centric thing, but Hillbilly is super, super cool.
Oh, thank you.
So I really dig. I could see that as a crazy movie, too, by the way.
Yeah.
So you had Hillbilly, and what was the other one?
Lords of Misery.
Lords of Misery.
Yeah. And There's a few other things we haven't announced yet, but we've definitely got a lot in the works at Albatross. A lot of new projects coming.
Is it becoming easier now at Albatross for you? Is we just...
I don't know if easy is a good word to use. It's,
we're, less
we're
stressful.
Learning. We're learning. We're learning as we're going. So
how many books are under your publishing house now?
We have about 5.
Wow.
Yeah, but you know, we launched, you know, 2.5 years ago. So
and these are all monthly comics.
No, some of them. The Goon is a monthly. Hillbilly was a monthly. Now it's turning into a mini series kind of thing. We've got a series called Grumble by Mike Norton, who's known for Battle Pug webcomic.
You have Mega Ghost too, right?
That's Gabe Soria and
No, Gabe, I know, but it's under your house. Yes,
yes, yes. Mega Ghost. So yeah, we've got several books going.
That is amazing, Eric. Now, before I get you out of here, is there anything you'd like to add before we say aloha to you from the Maui Comic Con?
Not really. I just want to thank everybody for having me out here. It's a real treat to be at this convention and this beautiful island. So.
Now, are you doing commissions and you have prints and original artwork back there at your table?
I was doing commissions. I think I had to cut them off at this point because I don't think I'd get them finished.
Fair enough.
But we have a 20th anniversary exclusive Goon number 1 that you can only get on this tour. We've got copies of that. We've got pins, stickers, T-shirts, all
fantastic.
That stuff.
And where can we follow you on the socials, as they say?
If you go to thegoon.com, there are links to all the social media platforms that we're on there. So
fantastic. Yeah. Well, listen, Eric, it's been an absolute pleasure, sir. I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, definitely.
And
thank you.
I'd love to have you back
here
on the island of Maui. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, the legendary Eric Powell. Give him a big hand, the creator of The Goon. 20 years and still going strong.